Are you feeling overwhelmed by the busyness that every day brings? Like busyness and stuff runs your life. Are you feeling like you need a change of scenery, or perhaps there's a better way to live more in line with your values? Well, today we speak to a lovely guest who's actually a simplicity coach. And what she does is she helps people declutter and slow down and really reassess their values and live in line with that. So we have Marnie from Tiny House, HAUS, here with us to talk us through the journey that she took to get out of the corporate life and into her best or ideal life, and what the different scenarios and stages were for her. I hope you enjoy.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Hi, Marnie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
So today we have Marnie Prowse. She is a simplicity coach. And what that means is that she's really good at working out what your values are and helping you design your lifestyle so it fits in with your values, rather than me tell everyone about you. How about you give us a snapshot of kind of the journey that you went to get where you are now?
Yeah, all right. Fantastic. I did work in corporate for 16 years. It was really busy. I actually had two breakdowns in that time, but I like to think of them as breakthroughs, actually. So first one was in my early 20s. I was promoted into a role probably too young. Well, not probably, definitely. And I was drowning, basically, but I really tried really hard because a lot of people believed in me, but it got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. And at that point, I did make some changes, but probably not enough. I changed the role that I was in, and then that went well for a few years. Then I became a mother, and I was still throwing myself into work and trying to please everyone. I was trying to be a great mum, great employee, a great, you know, daughter, sister, all the things. But again, burnt out again, just because I was basically making everyone else happy and not doing a very good job at that and forgetting about myself. At that breakthrough, I decided this is not the life I want to lead. And so I went through this process of simplifying basically everything in my life. So my stuff, I used to be a shopaholic. I used to, I think, buy things just to make me happy. And I stopped that and I realized that things weren't going to make me happy. So I actually got rid of a whole lot of things. I simplified my personal life.
How did that make you feel when you were getting rid of, like, things?
It is freeing. It's like a huge weight being lifted off your shoulders. Like, I feel like your stuff actually really weighs down on you. Like, I used to feel guilty about things that were in my closet that I never wore or that I had probably spent too much money on. And it was like time consuming looking for things or storing things. Yeah, so it feels amazing.
Yeah. So you've simplified the stuff. That sounds to me like something that is a concept that we know we should do. We move house all the time. So I have this lovely purge whenever we move house, although we haven't moved for a while. Just the stuff comes back. But I have a thing about bench tops. So I get that stuff makes me feel completely overwhelmed and really heavy. And getting rid of stuff is like my happy place. But you took it further.
Yeah, I did. We took it further that we decided that we didn't need a big house, and our old home wasn't huge. It was just a 3-bedroom, very not big house, and we just decided that we didn't need it and that we moved our whole life family into our backyard. We built a 32 square meter tiny house, and we've been there for 3.5 years.
Right. So many questions. You know, rapid fire questions. How many children do you have?
We now have 2 children. When we moved into the house, I was pregnant with our second.
Right. There's 2 children and the 2 of you in 32 square metres.
Plus a cat, yeah.
Plus a cat, yeah. So 32 square metres is like 3 metres by 10 metres to give people a kind of...
I feel like a good measuring stick is like 3 parking spaces put together. So if you think of like a shopping centre, like 3 parking spaces.
Right. A garage. It's a garage.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of garages are 30 square metres.
Yeah, yeah. Bigger than 32 square metres.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you've moved in there. And do you have separate zones, or are you all...
Yeah, we have separate zones. So it is basically just like a normal house. Everything is just on a smaller scale. So in our kitchen, we've got a microwave combi oven. We've got a dishwasher drawer. We've got everything you need. Bathroom. The kids have their own bedroom. We've got our own bedroom. So when it got to the bedrooms, there was not a lot of space left, but we knew we wanted to have separate spaces. So we came up with a vertical bedroom. So it's basically bunk beds stacked, and then underneath they've got a play area.
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah, there's like their own little kiddie door. Yeah.
So tell us about that. Like, I know it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I want to move into a tiny house, but there had to be a process behind that. You might have had to get a permit or design, built it.
So ours is built as an additional dwelling, yet we had to get DA approval. And I guess we wanted to make it, it was our new family home, so we wanted it to be great. So we did engage an architect, and the one thing that you can do when you're building small is afford probably fittings and fixtures that you couldn't afford if you're building a traditional sized house. So we were able to pick a few things that were really nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so can you tell us how much it cost?
Yeah, so we also put in a pool at the same time, so people get scared when I tell them how much it costs. So it was $250,000, but when you strip back the pool, and we did a few other little renovations to our front house at the time, so it was probably about $125,000 just on the house.
$125,000. Okay, so you've now got a block where you've got 2 dwellings, you've got the existing house, which you're able to rent out and hopefully cover whatever costs you have associated with that. And then you've got your home or tiny house, which is a separate dwelling, so it's not movable, with a lovely pool and outside area on that same block. So you've effectively been able to create a way to pay for your own living costs, as well as kind of free up your mind and your space and your lifestyle.
Exactly. So the rent that we now receive on the front house basically pays for what we spent on building our tiny house and the pool, but we don't have a 30-year mortgage. We can pay it off over 10 years.
Yeah, and that, and you're still free to work and create an income and do all the things that you would normally
have to. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it's paid for it. I mean, to buy an investment property in Sydney, we just couldn't have afforded it. So this was a really nice alternative that we've created something in our own backyard.
So what I like about this is you've kind of gone back to what the values are that are important to you, and you haven't compromised on those, but you've been able to creatively assess the situation that you've got and go, okay, well, how can I play this game differently? How do I not just take the next step because it's the next step and everyone just takes the next step? How do I kind of zoom out or do that high level or critical thinking and go, all right, well, if I don't have to conform to the social norms, what could I do?
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, I feel like you've wrapped it up so nicely. I want to spend more time with my children, doing things that I love. I don't want to be cleaning a big house or with a huge mortgage that where I'm just chained to my job. So I really feel like, you know, we've created this lifestyle that makes us happy.
Yeah, and I think ultimately everyone's got a different version of happiness, but we run something in our masterclass, and that's where we all kind of rethink about what we are doing with our time and our days and how we generate income and fulfill that creativity and those different roles that we play in life without, you know, external parameters. And we play a game called kind of Ideal Day. And it's one of my favorite things. I actually do it all the time, you know, especially when I'm running the events. But it's like, well, if everything was off the table, how do I actually want to spend my day? And not my holiday time, because that's just not just with kids, but that's with kids and that's great. But how do I want to live my life if I could just make it up and I didn't have to sit with any parameters? And that's basically what you've done, but now you're helping people do that as well, right? You've got a coaching service through Tiny House Lifestyle. So that's tinyhousehaus.com.au, and you show people how they can create a lifestyle around it. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, exactly. And I love your, you know, create your version of success, basically. And I do a very similar thing in my coaching practice is that there's this social norm that, you know, you have to have money and you have to have status. But really, we don't think about happiness, self-care, all those other things that are really go into, I guess, what you look back at when you're older and think, oh, you know, I'm really proud of the life that I lived. So I really want to help people push through those social norms and find their version of happiness and create a life around that rather than doing the things that we feel like we have to do or that we're expected to do.
Yeah. And we've got a few people in our course. I mean, last year we had a few people that moved to Noosa or relocated to different areas, did farm or beach or did, because it was a year of reassessment. And when you took away some of the things that hold us in place normally, like school locations or job locations and kind of fix us down, we realize that actually you can achieve a lot from different locations or by changing the rules. And the only reason we think there are rules is because we're led to believe that that's not actually the case. So we can do what we want. And some of us have been living off, you know, the concept of job and working for someone isn't something that I've dealt with for a really long time. And it sounds like, you know, once you were able to leave that corporate life, you left the stress, you'd have different stress, but your days are designed by you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I went through that process that you just said, like my ideal life with no parameters. And I try and live it every day. So I don't spend a lot of time cleaning because I don't like doing it. I'd prefer to be out in nature doing something else, enjoying myself. So I feel like we feel this expectation, but we can push through it. It's not a hard and fast rule. We can design our own lives.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, designing the way you want to live and then achieving that. And for some people, it's a gradual release because, you know, they might want to live on a beachside property in Sydney with fast cars because those values are really important to them. Other people might not have those same values. And so you're basically aligning your lifestyle with your values and going, well, this is what's important to me. Generally speaking, when we run that event, everyone comes up with the same, like it's family, it's spending the time with their kids, their family, their loved one, their friends, and then working in a way that's fulfilling and useful and valued, but on their terms, on their times, and then the other things kind of slot around it and they vary. But, you know, I think more people need to think about this from a big picture. And I love the fact that you're able to coach people through this and kind of go, well, what's really important to you and how do you take away the clutter in our brains and our minds and our homes to really leave you with the essence of happiness, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful process to go through and I think it's amazing that you're doing it. I wish more people did it. I feel like today we can look into other people's lives so easily on social media and we just get this perfect life, basically. And then we go into this comparison mode and, you know, I want that. But when we really look back and go, is it what I want? You know, is this really going to make me happy? Then it's a beautiful time to assess that.
And I think we're all mentally conscious that what we're seeing of other people's lives are the pretty pictures, not the every moment of every day. But I think emotionally we're really connected to wanting our lives to be like a highlights reel.
Yeah, that's right. We're so connected. Like, there's this hyper connection to our phones, and the first thing that we look at in the morning and the last thing that we touch at night.
Even you?
No, not me. I recently invested in an old school alarm clock so I don't have to bring my phone to bed. Probably the best thing I've done, but I'm not perfect as well.
That's right. There's a lot of beating ourselves up. I am not good with my phone, but I think knowing areas to work on is always a good start.
Yeah, exactly. It's the awareness and, you know, making the steps to change.
So I guess if you're looking for a bit of a change or some help with reassessing your life, Marnie actually does take people through this process. She's got a coaching process. Have a look. We'll put up some images of her home and you can have a look as well at how Marnie's living and see if maybe this is a way that could help you move to a less reliant way of life where you're putting what you value above everything else. So thank you for joining us, Marnie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Rebecca.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.